Our next conversation is with David Seligman, who's one of three Democratic Attorney General candidates who are appearing on Next for a series of extended interviews ahead of the primary. Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, the fourth Democratic candidate for Attorney General, declined to appear and take questions. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot under the portfolio of the Attorney General, but what would be your number one priority if elected?
Well, I'll tell you, we're surrounded by crises everywhere. But one that's on my mind right now, and this could change, one that's on my mind right now, is we've got hundreds and hundreds of people right now locked up in a for-profit private prison just a couple of miles from here, taken away from their families because they look Latino, because they speak Spanish, because they work a low-wage job. These folks are my clients, folks I've been fighting for years. We've got people across Colorado right now who are afraid to call 911. Because of Donald Trump and Stephen Miller's weaponized immigration enforcement scheme. My father died, like 18 days ago. And, I think about all those people in immigration detention stripped away from their families when every day I had with my dad was precious. That issue is so important to me. There's a lot more work to do. We got to use the powers of the Office of Laws we have in the books to hold the oligarchs accountable, to take on an affordability crisis that is fundamentally, in my view, an accountability crisis, to take on, the health insurers denying our claims, jacking up our prices. And we've got, corporate polluters that have been getting away with poisoning our kids for years and years and years. We've got to do all of those things. But what's on my mind today is a real crisis of brutal, cruel immigration enforcement that is destroying our communities.
Let's talk about a couple of those issues. What will a state attorney general do about people locked up on federal charges at the GEO Group in Aurora?
Well, I'll tell you right now, there's lots of evidence that the folks inside that facility are being fed moldy food, right? Are being denied the very basics, being denied health care. When I'm attorney general, I'm going to be banging on the door of that facility, right? A subpoena in my hand. Let me in. Let's make sure the people in that facility are getting treated in accordance with state law, right?
You got members of Congress that are already doing that similar function of going in, demanding oversight, taking a look at things, raising those concerns. Why does the state AG need to do it?
Because of our enforcement authority. The enforcement authority to hold private prison companies accountable, the enforcement authority to hold ICE officers accountable. I've been saying for many, many months, when I'm attorney general, I won't be afraid to prosecute ICE officers when they trample our rights. It's not just that, I'll say, we also have a real problem across the state with far too many public officials and other institutions doing the bidding of Donald Trump, acquiescing to the administration. I'm in court right now, holding the governor accountable for attempting to turn over Colorado's personal information to ICE. We got sheriffs across the state that are openly saying they're going to collude with ICE. It is a crisis. And as I said, it's a public safety crisis for all of us because we've got whole communities of people that, are afraid to, call 911, that are afraid to report their boss for wage theft. The Attorney General can hold all of them accountable and make sure that we're fighting for the most marginalized right now.
So on the issue of the sheriffs, right? So long as those sheriffs are following Colorado law and the strictures of how they can cooperate or not with ICE, what would an AG do about that?
Well, there's sheriffs right now who appear to be openly flouting Colorado law and, doing the bidding of ICE, detaining people for the purposes of civil immigration enforcement, sharing information with ICE. That's something the Attorney General needs to investigate, and I would.
You mentioned the idea of polluters.
Yeah.
What action should Colorado take regarding the state's largest polluter, the Suncor refinery?
We got to make Suncor pay meaningfully, pay for the harm that they have caused our communities. Someone was telling me the other day, the zip codes outside of Suncor, the most polluted zip codes in the country. In these zip codes, we see 8 years less life expectancy. Again, I just, talked about my dad. Every year with him precious. Kids living around Suncor, 8 years stolen from them. Right? Because this company that made $2 billion in profits in the first quarter of 2026, the Polis administration made them pay a $2 million fine. It is the equivalent, as I've been saying throughout this campaign, it is the equivalent of about a $20 parking ticket. You'd be lucky to get a $20 parking ticket in downtown Denver. My wife would be thrilled if, all the parking tickets I've gotten on this campaign were only 20 bucks. That's what Suncor gets. We got to make Suncor pay meaningfully for the harm they've caused. The other tool that the AG has, the Attorney General's office has in certain cases, is the power to seek disgorgement, not just forcing corporations that violate the law to, pay for the harm, but forcing them to pay their ill-gotten gains, the profits they have made off violating the law. The problem that we have right now when it comes to environmental justice and protection in Colorado, is that the Attorney General's office, is most of its work in this space is happens in representation of the state's agencies, like the CDPHE, like ECMC. Frankly, it's not good enough anymore. You know, not when Suncor is getting a $2 million fine, not when we see fracking wells going up outside of the Aurora Reservoir within a mile of two schools, when we know that, you know, that that's likely to increase the risk of leukemia in kids for the profits of oil and gas. The Attorney General has the authority right now to go on offense, independent of the governor and the governor's agencies.
It sounds like you want to be an activist, AG.
We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do.
Term yeah. doesn't bother you.
The term activist doesn't bother me. We've got a lot of work to do, right? Absolutely. Look, we live in the second gilded age, right? We are seeing concentrations of wealth and power unlike anything we have seen in this country. We just saw a trillionaire created off of, you know, building the AI systems that are spying on us and jacking up our prices and driving down our wages. We don't need to be living this way. And one of the core things we've got to do to take on the forces of corruption and corporate abuse is use the laws on the books to protect people. We got a lot of work to do, and it's active work.
You certainly criticized the Trump administration in that answer. I didn't hear you specifically say that what I would do as AG is sue Donald Trump every day of the week and twice on Sundays, which is certainly how critics perceive the way that the AG's office is functioning now. How do you evaluate the lawsuits that AG Wiser has brought against the Trump administration? Any overreach, any missed opportunities?
I think that we got to stand up to the Trump administration. The Trump administration is, you know, trying to strip away gender affirming care when they're, you know, going after immigrants, when they're trying to take away our funding lawlessly. Of course we have to. But that's not an end in itself, right? I think we should be very worried about, you know, an attorney general coming in who's taking all these cases to get on, you know, MSNBC or something like that, right? Holding the Trump administration accountable is about protecting the people of Colorado, right? But we got a lot of tools in the toolbox. And some of them aren't just, again, about standing up to the Trump administration. It's also about standing up to the corruption and corporate abuse that we're seeing right here in Colorado. You know, I'll tell you, when it comes to enforcing the laws in the books, as one example of what we can do if we breathe some life into our laws, Colorado law, as far as I can tell, is the only law in the country right now that prohibits members of Congress from trading stock based on inside information. Colorado law. We don't have to wait for Congress to do something about that. Colorado law right now. So, you know, I'll say to members of Congress here in Colorado, if you are trading stock based on inside information, we're going to come after you. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. We have to use the law in bold and courageous ways to hold the forces of corruption accountable. Some of that, yes, is about suing Donald Trump, but it's not just that.
Do you have the management and the leadership experience to manage an office as large and as complex as the AG's office?
Yes. So look, my management experience in this race is unique in the field, right? I helped to build something from scratch, you know, turned our little nonprofit legal organization Towards Justice into a national powerhouse in the fight for economic justice and for civil rights. So I've got the support of people, not just in Colorado, but across the country, who have seen how we have used the law in transformative ways to fight for working people here in Colorado and across the country, our antitrust laws, our consumer protection laws, our workers' rights laws. That kind of experience, the experience of building something, right, of inspiring, first of all, recruiting and retaining some of the best lawyers and non-lawyers in the country, inspiring them every day to go on offense in new, in bold, in imaginative ways to transform the law and a legal system that is too often rigged against us. That's the kind of management experience I think we need right now. The entrepreneurial scrappiness, it has shifted over time, but usually between direct management at my organization is usually between 10 and 20, but you know, we work on cases with dozens and dozens of lawyers that I'll manage. We work on...
If you're AG, you would lead an organization that's hundreds upon hundreds of people, so significantly larger.
Well, you know, I've led coalitions across Colorado of, for example, folks coming together to for hundreds and hundreds of people come together to pass the Farm Worker Bill of Rights a few years ago, or to fight for junk fee legislation. That kind of experience matters. The experience building coalitions, knowing how to work with AG's offices across the country, which is work that I've been doing my entire career, as we built out new bold theories under our antitrust laws, under consumer protection laws. Knowing how to inspire people, knowing how to build something, being unafraid to take on the big, the bold, the imaginative work that I think we need right now in government. I think that's the kind of management experience we need right now.
How do you use the tools of the AG's office to go after crime beyond the white collar crime that you've already talked about?
Well, look, you know, I want to say, first of all, the most important function of government, truly the most important function of government, is keeping people safe. You know, I got three daughters, 11, 9, and 7. Their safety, the safety of our communities, right? That's why we're in the job. You know, the AG's office isn't, you know, like a sort of super prosecutor, super DA prosecuting sort of street crime in the way that we normally think about it. But there's a lot that the AG can do to fight for meaningful public safety here in Colorado. So I'll give you one example. One of the most dire threats to public safety here in Colorado is that we have some of the worst funding in the country, some of the worst funding in the country for mental health, behavioral health, substance use treatment in the bottom 10. We got one of the highest suicide rates in the country. One in four kids has experienced a major depressive episode. And we're not doing nearly enough. And right now, talk to sheriffs across the state. We got jails, right, that are on the front lines of a behavioral health crisis, and schools. Like, none of that is making us safe at all. You know, our system of mass incarceration has done nothing to address it. When we've got, you know, 50%, about 50% recidivism. So what I'll do as Attorney General is I'll create a community health and safety fund built on Attorney General Weiser's, the premises of Attorney General Weiser's opioid abatement fund. When we hold accountable the corporate forces that are making us unsafe, you know, the polluters that are, that are poisoning our kids, right? The big tech companies that are reaching their tentacles into our kids' brains. When we hold them accountable, the proceeds of that litigation are going to be invested in the things that we know keep us safe and that we are not doing nearly enough to support, which is our mental health, behavioral health, and substance use treatment.
You're going to get pushback, though, if you get dollars from a polluter and instead of spending that on environment or public health, you instead put it on mental health issues.
Look, I think that this is an absolutely essential, a crisis when it comes to public health right now, is that we're not doing nearly enough to support our community-based mental health, behavioral health support. And that includes especially in the communities that are most at risk when it comes to, you know, corporate pollution. And it put us all at risk.
Do flock cameras and other surveillance cameras keep people safer?
I don't think so. I don't think the way they're being used now, at the very least, right?
Law enforcement says they're essential to solve crime.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say about that. The way they're being used now, very often with law enforcement accessing this data without a warrant, which I think, based on, and you know, I mean, it could depend from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and how they're using these cameras. But based on what we're seeing in lots of parts of the state, I think that violates Colorado constitutional protections. And I think that's something we ought to take on. And I'm deeply concerned about this marriage of big tech and local law enforcement surveillance. I am open to the possibility that some of these tools, when used in accordance with the Constitution, could serve really valuable and important purposes. But I don't think we're seeing that right now.
How does Colorado get the best possible deal in the Colorado River Compact? Is it negotiations between the states? Is it through litigation? Is it through letting the feds put some dispensation on the outcome? How do we get the best deal?
Look, I'm really worried about litigation. I'm really worried about us hurtling toward litigation and leaving this absolutely critical problem up to, you know, a corrupt and very often unpredictable, you know, Supreme Court. I'm very worried. About leaving this up to the Trump administration. I think this has got to involve negotiation. That negotiation, yeah, it's got to mean Colorado standing on principle when it comes to protecting this absolutely essential resource, but it's also going to involve tightening our belts here. Now, I think it is absurd. It's absurd that we're talking about, you know, building more AI data centers that are going to guzzle a million gallons of water a day, right? It's absurd. We're talking about building more fracking wells that are going to, you know, use up 25 million gallons over the course of their lives. And we gotta examine, I think, thoughtfully some of the doctrines that we've had here in Colorado that you know, that have been around for a really long time and frankly were developed in times when we had more water, right? So like the use it or lose it doctrine, you know? I think that I want to be clear about this. Like I appreciate that for folks across the state, ranchers, farmers, and others, their water rights are, we're talking about generational wealth. We're talking about one of the most important things that they hold, right? And we want to be really sensitive to that. At the same time, I think we gotta look inward here and come to the table in negotiations with the lower basin states with some real acknowledgement that we got work to do here in Colorado too. That's how we get the best deal.
Are there any laws on the books in Colorado now that you can think of that you would decline to defend in court?
I think that depending on the challenge and how it's teed up, and I said this, depending on the challenge and how it's teed up and if they're standing, I do think that aspects of our tax system have real serious constitutional infirmities. And if
taxpayer bill of rights.
Yeah, and a flat, you know, income tax rate that has hamstrung our legislature. You know, we talk about a really broken system where corporations and billionaires pay the same tax rate as you and me, and our legislature can't do things like, you know, this year the governor vetoed a bill that would have provided benefits, cancer benefits to firefighters, because apparently we don't have enough money for it. The fact that the legislature can't engage in the very basic work of raising revenue in order to fund the most basic things, I think is deeply problematic and fraught with all kinds of constitutional infirmities. And if a challenge was brought that had standing, I wouldn't defend Colorado law in that context. What I'll tell you is, I just want to be clear about this. If that happens, it doesn't mean that, you know, Colorado law isn't going to be defended. It's not the same as, you know, the Attorney General cannot, you know, sign away our laws here in Colorado. But I think that I would not be afraid to take a public stance against laws that I consider to be unconstitutional and harm Colorado. And, you know, doing so, I think, is important. But we should beat, I got to be clear, we should also beat, we got to beat Tabor at the ballot box, and we should do it now.
And when you say beat Tabor at the ballot box, do you mean in its entirety, or do you mean everything except for the provision that allows people to vote on tax increases?
I mean in particular the opportunities that I think we're going to have here in 2026. Opportunities to take on a progressive tax system.
It would not be striking Tabor in whole.
I'm talking about what we have an opportunity, voters have an opportunity to take on right now.
Okay. Does it matter if Colorado's next attorney general has courtroom experience? You have it. Michael Daugherty has it. Hedel Doshi has it. Jenna Griswold does not have it. Does it matter?
Yes, I think it does matter. But let me tell you why. It is true that the attorney general isn't literally standing up in court very often. But to take on the fights we're going to need to take on for the future of Colorado, we need somebody who knows how to use the law, how to use the law boldly and courageously to take on the forces of corruption and corporate abuse. Right? We are at a tipping point moment in this country. As I said earlier, a second Gilded Age, people across Colorado are struggling. Very often it's because the forces that are harming us are breaking the law, right? We need to make the law real in people's lives. You better have experience using the law to taking on these fights, whether it's going after, you know, corporate union busting, holding corporate polluters accountable, or yes, standing up to the Trump administration. But there's something else that I have that, you know, that nobody else in this race has, which is an entire career using the law, standing up for individuals, taking on corporations, taking on the government. You know, I'm the only one in this race who has sued the Trump administration, right? And I've also held the Polis administration accountable and done it on behalf of people, right? People fighting on the hardest days of their lives and winning. I see not only how to use the law in bold and courageous ways, but I also see how the law has failed people who have been left behind. And I'm running for attorney general because I want to be focused on taking on a legal system that has too often left people behind.
The presumed frontrunner in this race, Jenna Griswold, has falsely claimed that she argued before the Supreme Court. Is that just a wordplay issue, or is that a serious problem that she falsely claimed that?
I mean, I've heard her say it, and it seemed to me, at least when she was saying it, that she was suggesting that she was, in fact, the person arguing. When I'm on the trail talking about the cases I've argued before the Colorado Supreme Court and courts of appeals across the country, I have to specify, literally, David Seligman, I am the one arguing these kinds of cases. That, yeah, I mean, I interpreted her to be suggesting that she was in fact the person who argued that case,
which would be false. I'm asking you, is that a problem?
Yeah, it's a problem, of course. Like, I'm running for attorney general. I'm running for office for the first time because I'm sort of sick and tired about the BS of politics.
Here we go.
That has,
my goodness, I apologize for this. I think we got a complete answer on that one. If it's okay with you, I'm
going to ask fine.
The next two questions. Okay. Because again, I want to ask you the qualification question with Griswold, and then we're wrapping up one last question. All right, good to go, Ryan. Okay. Broadly speaking, is Jenna Griswold qualified to be Secretary of State?
Look, I wouldn't be running if I thought that Secretary Griswold had the right qualifications in the moment to take on this fight. But what I'll also tell you is, with respect, that's a question for Colorado's voters, right? It's a question that Secretary Griswold should be answering.
But she's not coming in, so I'm asking you.
Yeah, I mean, she's not coming in, which frankly, let me just say, is absurd, right? She's got like, $1 million ad buy right now, like talking to people across Colorado about how she wants to stand up to Donald Trump. And with respect, how are you gonna stand up to Donald Trump if you're too scared to stand up to Kyle Clark?
But you're the one who's not answering my question about whether she's qualified to be a
attorney. I don't think she has got the right qualifications for the moment, right? Is she satisfies the constitutional requirements for the office. And what I'll also say, if Secretary Griswold is the nominee here on the Democratic ticket, yeah, I'll vote for her. And I'll vote for her without hesitation, right? Because we've got a Republican Party right now in Colorado that seems totally willing to give in to the corruption and cruelty of this administration. It's essential that we elect a Democrat to this office. So, no, I mean, I wouldn't be running if I thought she had the right qualifications, but I will, of course, vote for her if she's nominated.
You also understand how math works. And while you and Michael Dougherty and Hal Doshi have all been critical of Jenna Griswold's record, you know that your presence in this race, in a four-way race, all but guarantees that she's going to be the next attorney general. Are you putting your own ambition ahead of getting Colorado a qualified attorney general?
With respect, I will reject the premise, right?
Well, you're welcome to, but please just answer your question.
For one thing I got to say is like, I'm in this work, the work I've been in for my entire, I know this is my first time running for office, but I've been doing this work my entire career. I'm in this race because, I'm just sick and tired of a legal system that allows wealthy and powerful interests to trample our rights and to get away with it. And I see how people are struggling across Colorado. We've got almost 1 million Coloradans drowning in medical debt to billion-dollar hospital systems. You know, we've got Jeff Bezos standing behind the president at the inauguration. Well, my clients, thousands and thousands of Amazon delivery drivers across Colorado right now are forced to urinate in bottles to meet his impossible quotas so that he can make a few more bucks. We are at a tipping point moment. We need to do something transformational in our politics and in government. I'm running for attorney general. I'm running for office for the first time because I think politics should be about making people's lives better. So no, this isn't about, it's not about personal ambition. And it won't be. It won't be when I'm in the attorney general's office. It won't be about personal ambition. I'm not going to be doing that job to get another job. If I'm a one-term attorney general because I've taken on these fights, I'm a one-term attorney general. You know what? The political establishment can't take away from me. They can't take away my family from me. They can't take away my community from me. They can't take away my calling from me, which is a life, a career dedicated to using the law on behalf of working families. And that's the work that I'm going to be doing no matter what. So no, it is not about personal ambition. With respect to your question, I do reject the premise, right? I'm talking to people across Colorado right now, and they're ready for a new kind of politics. They really are, right? They're done with a politics where political consultants tell us who our governor is supposed to be, who our attorney general is supposed to be, who our U.S. senator is supposed to be. They're done with that stuff. With respect, Kyle, I just don't think the pundits have it right, And what I will say is that I have a ton of respect for Michael Dougherty, for Hedel Doshi. I've gotten to know them really well during the course of this campaign. I knew them both before. My daughter said to me the other day, she saw me talking to Michael Dougherty. She said, "Is that your new coworker?" And I was like, "Yeah, something like that. It's something like my new coworker, right?" A ton of respect for them. I know all of us care very deeply about Colorado. All of us care very deeply about that office. And all of us have different visions and experiences. And guess what's amazing is in a couple of weeks, the people of Colorado get to decide who their lawyer is going to be, right? Or at least who the Democratic Party is going to put forward as the lawyer for the people of Colorado. That's a decision that, you know, it's not my decision to make. With respect, it's not your decision to make. It's not the political consultant's decision to make. It's a decision for the people of Colorado.
We'll leave it there. Thanks for your time. I appreciate you very much.